pay me the hookah. Hey, baby, just pay me the hookah. Stand on the place. I'm a rich nigga, got Chanel on my waist. Run up on me playing, I'ma aim it at your face. And that go for anybody, anyway. Hey, I'm a rich blood, by the way. And I'm having swag, roll it old like a tape. Fit scale, yeah, like I got these bitches on the bay. Don't wanna talk, then they say I need some space. Damn.
What's up, family? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite. And I'm broadcasting live from Easter Island right now. And we're going to chop up some good game on today's show. And for those who do not know where Easter Island is, it is smack dab in the South Pacific Ocean. And we're going to chop up some game about that. And today's show is going to be a pretty quick show because, again, we might have some technical difficulties with the recording instruments I'm using while I am out here. So just excuse any kind of technical difficulties or any kind of microphone bumps or pops or whatever. But anyway, we're still going to chop up game nonetheless. But again, it's going to be a quick show. And we'll get to some good game right after these very, very quick commercial breaks. And we'll be right back on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I tell the pass back. Today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show is brought to you by CaseUltra.com. I'm out here right now in Easter Island, and I'm rocking some of that Case Ultra right now as we speak. And you need to be rocking it too. Use the coupon code KFLEX and you get 50% off on everything on the site. That's CaseUltra.com. And today's show is also brought to you by STDHomeTestKit.com. You can never be too safe out here. Get your genitals checked out at STDHomeTestKit.com. You can get yourself checked out for venereal diseases in the privacy and comfort of your own home. And we are right back with the Tariq Elite Radio Show right now. Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex, also known as Tariq Nasheed, and I am broadcasting out here in Easter Island. And I'm going to chop up some game about that in a minute. Before I get into that, don't forget we're having a free screening of Hidden Colors 3 in the St. Louis Ferguson area. That's October 4th, that's Saturday, which is real soon, at the JCPenney Theater. Go to TariqLive.com for more information. If you're in St. Louis, if you're in Ferguson, if you're around that area, come on down to the free screening. I'm going to be there. We're going to have a discussion afterwards. We're going to chop up some real good game there. So that's going to be October 4th on Saturday. So do not forget that. But right now, like I said, I'm on Easter Island right now. And I've been posting up pictures on Facebook and pictures on Twitter and Instagram. And a lot of people are like, where in the heck is Easter Island? Now, Easter Island, like I said, it's in the South Pacific Ocean. It's the most isolated inhabited location in the world. That means that it's the only place, or it's the place that's inhabited with people, that's extremely isolated for thousands of miles. So in Easter Island, thousands of miles, there's no other people, no nothing. So on one side, the closest place to go is Tahiti, which is thousands of miles from here. And from the other side, the closest place is the country of Chile, which is thousands of miles. So it's a very isolated place. And that's why they kind of developed their own culture and they kind of did their own thing here. And they're mostly known for these huge, giant stone head statues that's all over the island. These ancient statues are literally all, there's thousands of them on this island. And the island is kind of small. It's a very small island. And it's a lot of, it's a deep, rich culture here and a real deep history here. And it has been annexed by the country of Chile, but the people here still have their own culture. They refer to themselves by one of the ancient names, which is Rapa Nui. Very cool people here. Very nice people here, very genuine people here. The energy here is wonderful, and it's a very educational experience. And I'm here doing research and having a good time as well. They got a couple of real cool beaches here, so it's a real good environment, real good place to come visit if you ever get a chance. And that's what I want to talk about on today's show. I want to talk about black people
and traveling?
Because this is something that's very interesting. While I was here, when I first got here, I was at a restaurant and one of the waitresses said to me, she said, she heard me speaking English. And she told me she had never seen an African-American person before, ever. And this happens a lot when I travel. A lot of people, they've never seen an African-American person before. Because she was pointing, she was basically saying, he's like, your color, you speak your color. I never seen you speak with your color like a person my color speak English. Because you go to a lot of these places, they've seen dark people or brown people. They've seen that because they have that in their own culture. But to see them speak English as an American, that's something that's rare. They just never see African people from America. And that's shocking to a lot of people. And again, she told me she only seen that, seen black people on television. And again, I see this a lot when I travel. When I travel around the world, you don't see too many black folks, let alone African Americans. You don't see too many black people from, you know, Britain. You don't see any black people from Africa traveling. And you don't see black people from America traveling in a lot of places. It's very rare that you see it. And a lot of people are shocked when they see me. And it's very interesting, man. We got to get out here and travel as black folks. We got to get into the habit of getting out of the U.S. and experiencing the world. And we can't attribute it to just being a money thing. It's not just a money thing, because the thing is, upper middle class black folks don't even travel either. A lot of upper class black people, they don't get out there and travel either. See, the thing is, the only place that black people might go, they might go to like Jamaica, or they might go on like a Tom Joyner cruise or something like that. But for the most part, those are the only places that black people go. Some black people might take a group trip to Cancun with the church or something like that. But there's a thing about black people and traveling. Black folks, African-American people got to get out and start traveling the world. You got to get out there and start experiencing the world. And again, it ain't got nothing to do with money. You don't see people in the dominant society traveling just because they got a whole bunch of money. That ain't it. That's a real big misconception. And a lot of black people fall on that misconception. Like, well, white people got more money than us so they can travel. That ain't it. Even here, I've seen a broke, scraggly looking people from the dominant society walking around here with backpacks on. And I see that everywhere I go. You see like European kids or white American people with backpacks looking scraggly. No disrespect to them, but just you can tell they ain't got too much money, but they're backpacking with raggedy clothes all over the world. And I've seen that here. I've seen a couple of white kids here, you know, ragged clothes with dirty backpacks on. You know, they find a way to travel. They will stay in little hostels. They'll shack up with families. They'll do whatever to get out here and explore the world in order to experience different cultures so they can learn and just get that game. And shit, after a while, some of those cats in the dominant society ends up owning a hotel or something out here. You dig? Because they get out here and they learn the game. They get out here and learn different cultures and soak that in. And then later on down the line, they learn how to monetize that. So we got to get into the habit of just getting out here and experiencing the world and becoming educated with the world. And that's the thing. You gather a lot of knowledge going to other places. And as a black person, as a melanoid person, when you travel around, you'll be surprised when you experience other cultures. People are generally very respectful to you. And I've never had any problems anywhere I've gone around the world with people acting hostile. That has never happened. I've always gotten the utmost respect everywhere I've gone in different countries. And the problem is, historically, a lot of black folks are told in America that you can't do something, you can't go somewhere, you're not allowed here. The police presence is always punking black folks out. Even to this day, black people are getting punked out and smacked around by the dominant society in America. And, you know, look at the situation in Ferguson. That's just one example. As a matter of fact, speaking of Ferguson, and I have limited access to the internet and limited access to television, but from what I understand, the memorial for Mike Brown out there in Ferguson, somebody burned that up, from what I understand. So I'm still trying to get more details on that, but from what I understand, a couple of days ago at night, somebody went out there and burnt up the memorial. So that type of disrespect that those in the dominant society keep showing for people in Black America, Black people have become accustomed to getting kicked around and disrespected. So Black people assume that the rest of the world is going to treat them the same way. So this creates a certain level of fear. So we got to get that fear out of our system. And again, Black people get punished for stepping out of their bounds. In America, you get told that you can't do certain things. You get, you know, you can't go here. If you go certain places, something's going to happen to you. So we got to get out of that fear. The whole world don't operate like that. And the thing is, most Black people travel for two reasons. If Black people do travel, number one, they'll travel because they're in the military. So a lot of times when you see Black people in different countries, or a Black American person, that's what, when I speak of Black people, I mean as a Black American person. They'll travel because they're in the military. Most of the Black folks I know who've been around the world, they are in the military. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. The other type of Black folks who travel are Black people who are looking to get hooked up. Like, they'll go to Jamaica, women will go to Jamaica to try to get a date, or brothers go down to Brazil or go down to the Dominican Republic to try to campaign for some ass. So those are the two reasons why a lot of Black folks will get out here and travel. They get out here trying to catch, or they're in the military. And nothing's wrong with either one, but we just got to think outside of those boundaries. We got to start traveling just for the education of it. We should travel just to kind of network with other people from different cultures. We ain't got to travel all the time just to get our groove back and all that. So we got to get out here and network and politic and just really vibe with other cultures and create a networking system globally. And the thing is, a lot of Black folks rarely travel outside of their own state, let alone other countries. And there are Black people who are literally proud of never going anywhere. They've developed this slave plantation mentality where they rep their plantation. I'm Oz on Massa Mo's plantation. This is my block. You know, we get on that nonsense to try to justify fear of traveling. Because that's what it boils down to. It boils down to fear. Again, it has nothing to do with money whatsoever. It has nothing to do with money, because the thing is, you can travel and work while you travel. You can, and I talked about this on the show before, you can go around to different countries. The easiest job you can get is teaching English. That's a piece of cake. If you're a Black person, you want to travel, you don't have a lot of money, look up these programs where you can go around the world and teach English. They'll roll out the red carpet for you and create a situation for you to go and do that. Not only will they set up your lodging and your travel, you get paid. And it's real easy to do. You don't even have to learn the other people's language, because a lot of times people know a little form of English, but they just need to know certain words. Look, when I was out here, I was at another restaurant, and there was a lady here who saw that I was a person from America, and she was like, "Hey, I have to ask you something. How do you say water, non-sparkling water in English?" And she asked me this because they serve like a lot of sparkling water out here, but a lot of people don't want sparkling water. But she doesn't know how to say like flat water or a plain water, so she didn't know the word. And simple stuff like that you can help people out with, and they pay you for this stuff because they need to know this, because they want to. A lot of people, they deal with tourists, and they need to know certain words, and some people are kind of uncomfortable asking those in the dominant society about how to say or do certain things, but they are more comfortable asking another person of color. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's very important for us to get out here and just network. And there's just a whole world out here for us to really politic with people and chop up game. But like I said, the truth is, man, a lot of black folks are just really scared to travel. Because one of the questions I get asked all the time is that people say, well, man, if I travel, how do they treat black folks out there? I always get people asking me that question. Are they mean to black people? Are they disrespectful to black people? Are they racist towards black people? Because black people are used to domestic ass whoopings. They don't want to imagine what a foreign ass whooping would be. But you have to understand, and I've said this a million times, the most significant racism you're going to get is right at home, right there in America. That's the most significant form of systematic white supremacy you're going to get. When we talk about racism, we're talking about systematic white supremacy. And whenever you have places where there are people of color, that's going to minimize the direct effect of systematic white supremacy. Now, you do have it on a governmental scale, because these places are controlled and occupied by white supremacist governments. So the presence is there, but as far as just the immediate effect of the daily reminder of systematic white supremacy, whereas you go somewhere in America, you go into a store, somebody's following you around, you're walking home from the store, somebody's shooting you, you're walking from 7-Eleven, somebody's shooting you, you walk down the street, there's a cop rolling up on you. You don't have that. You don't have that immediate, direct effect of systematic white supremacy hitting you when you travel around these different countries. Again, a lot of the systematic global systematic instances of white supremacy is governmental. Just like with the situation with Syria. The U.S., from what I understand, has now done airstrikes on Syria, the country of Syria. So that's a banking governmental type of beef. The people of Syria, they wouldn't have no beef with you, the actual people, but the governments and the bankers, that's a conflict between them, and then they get everybody else involved. So that's just an example of governmental white supremacy and immediate social systematic white supremacy. Real big difference, and you don't see too much of the social white supremacy in these different countries, because a lot of these countries are majority other people of color. So it's a very interesting dynamic. But again, we need to get out here, and it's time to get out here and travel. And speaking of white supremacy, the thing is, a lot of the white supremacists in America tell black people that they're not welcome in other places. Black people are constantly told that you're not wanted in these countries. These people are more racist in other countries, so it's best to just stay here in America and just get beat up by us instead of going to those other countries. And nothing can be further from the truth. And another thing, a lot of times when you look at ads or billboards or commercials for other countries, the corporations, they'll feature ads from other countries with either white models or the whitest looking people they can find. And again, that kind of puts black people off, because black people are like, okay, hell, why am I going to travel to another version of white supremacy? And again, that ain't the case. When you see some of these ads, the people there, they don't really look like the people in a lot of those ads. So again, that can be off-putting a lot of times. And that's a corporate thing. So don't even trip on that. Go to some of these countries, man. You'll be pleasantly surprised. And again, man, there are brothers out here who do group tours, like Anthony Browder, who is in Hidden Colors 2. He does these tours in Africa. These group tours, you can sign up with a group tour. I know my man David Banner was just with Anthony Browder. I'm outside out here. I'm on my hotel balcony, and there's motorcycles passing by, and y'all might hear birds and stuff in the background. I mean, it's like real peaceful and serene out here. I'm really chilling, enjoying the atmosphere and the sunshine and the weather right now. I'm sitting outside chilling as we speak, about to get me some damn guava juice in a minute. But like I said, my man David Banner, who was in Hidden Colors 3, went on an African tour with Anthony Browder. So you have brothers out here who will take these group tours to certain countries. Even Renoko Rashidi, who was in Hidden Colors 2, he does these African tours as well. So you guys can hook up with brothers like that and go on these tours, and they can show you where everything is and just show you how good it is to chop up game with other cultures. But the thing is, man, traveling is like investing in yourself. You know, it's like investing in knowledge. It's like going on a field trip. It's like getting an education. So you gotta be willing to invest in yourself. See, a lot of black folks in America, we want immediate gratification. You want immediate results when you spend your money. So a lot of black folks just don't want to spend their money on a vacation, or not just a vacation, but just traveling. Because every time you travel, it doesn't necessarily have to be a vacation. It can be an educational experience. And a lot of us don't want to spend money on that because it's like, okay, there is no immediate payoff. And we black folks, we get caught up into that immediate payoff. We want some immediate tangibles when we spend our money. That's why we value nigger trinkets. A lot of black folks value nigger trinkets. You spend your money, you want your rims right there. You spend your money, you want your hair weave right there in your hand. You want your gold necklace right there in your hand. You want immediate results. You do not want delayed results. And we got to get off that mindset. Like I said, traveling is like investing in yourself. And you want to invest in yourself. And you want to learn and you want to get that knowledge. You want to get that game. It's not that hard to do. And also, when you start to travel, it'll open your mind and you will reject a lot of the systematic white supremacy when you get back home. You'll look at certain situations a little bit different. This is why, you know, back in the day, a lot of jazz musicians and dancers back in the 20s during the hardcore first wave of Jim Crow. And I shouldn't even say hardcore because we're back in Jim Crow 2.0 right now. So we're still back in Jim Crow. We've circled back to Jim Crow. But the first wave of Jim Crow, a lot of black entertainers, they got tired of the system of Jim Crow. So they would go to France and they would go to England and they would go overseas to work. And the immediate systematic white supremacy was not as prevalent as it was in the States. So they learn how to get their money and experience a different culture. And when you start experiencing different cultures, you start rejecting people trying to put you into a box, people trying to marginalize you. I'm telling you, traveling, man, really opens your mind, gives you a certain psychological freedom, and it really educates you. And black folks, we got to get into the habit of going out traveling. I'm tired of going places and people are looking at me like I'm an alien. They're shocked to see an African-American. In 2014, there's places that African-American people have never been. We got to get off that, man. If we can go and save our money for All-Star Weekend and Black Bike Weekend and all these Negro events where we can show out and fight and twerk and all that dumb shit, we can get out here and do some things that's going to be educational. And everything ain't got to be about getting some ass on the trip. And there's nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with getting your dip on, but everything ain't got to be about that. Sometimes it's just good to go somewhere and just get some knowledge, get some game, and educate yourself. And again, we got to stop with the plantation mentality. It's time to get off the plantation and get out here and network so we can start building, so we can start empowering ourselves. And you start empowering yourselves by getting off that natural obedience mentality. Black people have this thing where you just have to be obedient to the dominant society. You got to fall in line with whatever they say, and you're afraid to step out of that box. Look, they're already smacking you around and beating you, so what are you being obedient for? They're already kicking you in the ass. They're already disrespecting you daily. And I'm looking at stories back home online, and just every day, cops doing this. Now I heard the NFL, they're starting to put penalties on black players saying the N-word. So all these coaches and team owners practicing systematic white supremacy, and the punishment is they're going to slap athletes on the wrist for saying the N-word. So we just keep circling around to this Jim Crow style disrespect over and over again. So it's time to change our thinking now. It's time to go global. It's time to network globally. It's time to do things globally. It's time to get a code of conduct. It's time to change our thinking. The Negro plantation slave mentality ain't working. It's time to think outside the box. It's time to empower ourselves. It's time to get busy. It's time to get a code of conduct. Because again, Jim Crow 2.0 is here. The dominant society are tightening their nooses of white supremacy. It's time for black folks to start thinking outside the box. Ladies and gentlemen, That's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Do not forget to join me in St. Louis, Ferguson, October 4th. That's in a week or so from now, I think. A week or two. Go to TariqLive.com to get more information about that. We're having a free screening of Hidden Colors 3. I'm going to be there chopping up game with everybody. We're going to have a great time. If you're around that area, come on down. It's going to be off the chain. And don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get the movies Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 if you do not have them. Go to TariqElite.com to get that gear. If you don't have that gear, get that, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget to join me on Ustream this Sunday. And I will holler at you guys this Sunday on Ustream. Peace.